And do we have applicant team yet?
I'm not sure about the applicant. It looks like we do have the applicant online, and then our staff presenter is here too, so.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Do you want to give it a minute or so, or can we just get rolling? Do you think there's going to be members of the public?
We can go ahead and roll in. They can filter in as they come through, so.
Okay, then that is what we will do. Good morning, everyone. My name is Emily Terrell. I am the pro tem hearing examiner today for today's hearing. It is approximately 9 a.m., 9:01 now, Thursday, March 28th, 2024. We are here to hear the matter of Chick-fil-A zoning variance for parking spaces, permit number 23-03005. The order of operations today is this part. Then I will enter exhibits into the record and swear in any witnesses who wish to speak today. We will begin with staff and then the applicant, then any members of the public. We will have opportunities for questions if any should come up today. This is a hybrid hearing that is being held both remotely and via Zoom, so here digitally and at the county offices themselves. As I understand it, the request today is that the standard requirement for a drive-through restaurant allows for 66 parking stalls. The applicant has requested a variance to allow them to do 98 parking stalls, so about 1.5 times what is allowed as a prescriptive under the code. At this point, I'm going to enter exhibits 1 through 28 from the index to the record, which is also page 7 of the staff report. This includes the staff presentation, which is exhibit 27, if there is one, and exhibit 28, if there's a staff presentation, will be the hearing sign-in sheet itself. We will, of course, have a digital copy of this, and this is being recorded, so everyone who's here is a party of record. Okay, that being the preliminary stuff, let us begin with swearing in witnesses. So, staff, please identify yourself and swear. Do you swear and affirm that your testimony today will be the truth?
I do.
Good. Please proceed, sir.
Okay. For the record, my name is Darren Gurney, Darren, last name Gurney, Gurnee. And I am a senior planner at Kitsap County Department of Community Development and project lead for this zoning variance. At the onset, I would like to add one exhibit to the record. We received an email that was dated on November 21st, 2023 from Kitsap Transit. That didn't make it into the exhibit list, so we would like to add that at this time.
So add it as exhibit 29.
Okay. So we're going to try to pull up our presentation on screen. So yes, we do have a presentation to add to the exhibit list as well.
Excellent. Thank you. That should be the new music while you're waiting.
We got to have the smooth jazz music for that. Let me make sure this is working to
That'd be
start.
if my husband was running the meeting.
Okay. So, as mentioned before, my name is Darren Gurney, and I am processing the zoning variance for today. This is for Chick-fil-A, permit number 23-03055. As mentioned as well, the applicant requests an increase parking allowance to 98 parking stalls. It is a 48% increase from the required amount of 66. And any increase over 25% does require a hearing examiner process, according to Title 21 of Kitsap County Code. The presentation today, as I always say, this is an augmentation to the staff report. It does not replace the staff report. So the basis of decisions primarily is going to be coming from staff report, but this should help with clarity. So providing a little context, the project is located in Central Kitsap Urban Growth Area, and that is Commissioner District 3, more specifically at the intersection of Fuson Road and Vena Road with Highway 303. Project zoning is commercial, and as you can see from the surrounding properties, it is also commercial as well. Setbacks standard are 20 foot in the front, 10 on the sides and the rear. Sorry, I'm trying to get my clicker to work here. There we go. So aerial photos, these typically are something that we use to identify development in the immediate vicinity. As you can see on the east edge across the road of 303, you have a large retail complex with large parking fields. To the north, you also have a commercial activity with parking fields there as well. To the west and south, you have single family residences. Again, this is commercial zoning designation. So the single family residence, unless it comes up to 10 units per acre, it technically is coming into a non-conforming type use in the zone. Typically, commercial zoning designations have a higher intensity of residential use if it's allowed there. So site plan, this is demonstrating building locations, hardscape, parking aisles, parking spaces, and we can gather from this general circulation throughout the site for both pedestrian and vehicular activity. The project includes a 5,200 square foot structure located relatively towards the center of the parcel with the parking fields to the west. You'll note that the drive aisle, the drive-through aisles, they start on the southern edge, directing cars to go to the north. So when they exit, they are closest to Fusen Road. Something to note from the site plan on that is by directing to Fusen Road, that has the four-way controlled intersection with 303. So part of the site design does lend itself towards directing traffic to that northern road access. Landscaping is provided at approximately 23.7% of the site. Kitsap County Code requires 15%. So this does meet that requirement as well. This is our critical areas mapping. It's the latest information Kitsap County has through GIS modeling. It is not perfect. We use this mapping as well as aerial photography, particularly our 2012 aerial imagery that allows us to see better whether there's wetlands on site or nearby. From this information, we did not identify wetlands on site or within 200 feet, nor did we see potentially hydric soils, which would have shown up in a green shade on the maps. And so this didn't warrant any additional critical area analysis, such as stream delineations or wetland delineations. You will note that one of the comments we received was requesting additional analysis for those items and for downstream analysis. Our stormwater codes, they do provide a downstream analysis as part of an SDAP when prompted. The other part of that comment also alluded to critical area aquifer recharge, of which this is in a category one. So those are our more sensitive aquifer recharge areas. And our codes at Kitsap County in Title 19, more specifically section 19.600.615 and 620, they do not identify this use as something that warrants additional hydrogeological reviews and reports. So we did not ask for those at this time. And again, I'm not going to read each of these comments, but just kind of summarize. So we did receive two comments from the neighbors. In the single family neighborhood, they were worried about losing the characteristics of their neighborhood and child safety on Vena Avenue. And while we can definitely empathize with that sentiment, we would like to recognize that this entire area is zoned commercial. The intent is for commercial uses. As things develop over time, you would expect to have higher density housing or more intense development through commercial uses, or possibly, I believe there's some small industrial uses are allowed in that zone as well.
We understand that could take decades. Yeah.
Yes, it can. So that is the approach that we've been taking. We understand that ultimately hearing examiner has the authority to make determinations on that as well. So
let me ask a question right there, because sure. I've had that question. The staff report, well, it's advertised only as a zoning variance, and the staff report is, and forgive me for not really understanding or not having, it's not that I don't understand them. I don't have them memorized. There are codes I actually have memorized. This isn't one of them. The decision for the site plan itself, is that administrative or is that a later point in time? I mean, all of this background information is very useful, but ultimately the only thing I'm looking at is whether or not they're allowed to increase the number of parking spaces. Yes.
Okay. Yes and no. So in the variance process, we also have to look at site planning features. Mm-hmm. Like if parking increase was at the expense of reducing the landscaping below.
Landscaping, stormwater, impervious
yep.
surface issues.
We need to make sure that issues. The site plan
agreed.
Can apply to
I'm
those.
Just wanting to make sure, because the part of me that's used to writing full staff reports for site plans is thinking about the neighbors and the tribe and the other things, but ultimately each of these things will have to be dealt with at another decision-making process. This is
correct.
The variance only.
That's correct.
The number of parking spaces. Okay.
That is correct.
I thought I was sure on that. Wanted to clarify that point.
Yes.
Thank you.
So that was one of the points I had going through this slide specifically because of responding to those comments. Because the comment, I'll actually switch down to the one at the very bottom. So the Kitsap Transit, that is the exhibit that we added. They requested frontage improvements along 303. The project provides those frontage improvements as well as along Vena and Fusen Road. The bus stop, we need a little bit more data to determine whether a bus stop is feasible at that location. The zoning variance itself would not hold up the process to determine whether a bus stop is allowed. If a bus stop must be incorporated into site design, it would effectively reduce the number of parking spaces by shifting curb cuts in certain locations. So therefore it would reduce the number of parking spaces and become more in alignment with our codes. So through the SDAP process, we should be able to achieve that.
And that this variance is the maximum number of parking spaces.
Yeah, well,
allowed.
Yes,
it may be moved.
This would be the minimum amount of relief requested by the applicant based on their business models. And so that part of it, yes, it is kind of a tricky scenario.
That's all right. It's,
but I believe we can do that within the SDAP.
Right. And it seems to me that a variance could speak to the request as this is they've requested this many. It may be less than that if some things are required as part of the site plan approval process.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to switch back to the top comment as well. So the Vena Avenue access point. Traditionally in site planning and design, we prefer to have intersections and driveways separated by a certain distance. So the Vena and Fusen intersections with Highway 303, you would want those driveways to be as far away from those intersections as possible. Hence, they are on the western edge of the parcel. And you have a direct line from the north to the south that allows for a direct line of emergency vehicle access to go through those two points. So from a standpoint of safety, the two access points is an important feature of the site plan.
How about, is there a conflict with neighboring driveways? I understand the intersection spacing distance. That makes complete sense. But some of the comments looked a little bit like, how are we going to get out of our driveway? Are there going to be issues with that?
There should not be. So in the, I say should, I hate using the absolute terms. Driveways themselves, the main restricting factor for driveway locations is when you have curb cuts and you need to allow for the curb to come up for pedestrian activity, then go back down for the next driveway. Driveway proximity is not something that we strictly regulate like intersections where every 300 feet, that's typically the minimum distance you want between intersections.
Well, in the site plan, I can see how that might be a concern for a neighbor if they, specifically at Chick-fil-A, has large AM and PM peak hour uses and then less uses other times. Those happen to be the same times that you're leaving for work and taking your kids to school.
Yes.
So in the neighborhood context, that has nothing to do with this decision whatsoever, but that's the reason I asked.
And that's why I also say we do empathize with that sentiment and that scenario. It is not ideal to have a single family neighborhood immediately adjacent to high intensity commercial use. So usually in the Euclidean zoning models, you have those transition zones that allow for a higher intensity going down to lower, single family being the lowest intensity in an urban area. So
I know
that is not lost on us. And from your history, it sounds like it's not lost on you as well.
I've been a planner for 25 years and a hearing examiner for 18. So
okay,
not lost on me either. And before that, a college professor teaching transportation planning.
So that addresses the comments on the access point, the increased activity. We've addressed the Kitsap Transit comments and the tribe comments as well. So those are the comments we have to date. We did have a SEPA process, did not receive any appeals. Therefore, the SEPA decision is final.
The SEPA appeal period doesn't expire until tomorrow.
Oh, excuse me. Yes.
Or the 30th.
My apologies. Yes. That was a slip up on my part. The SEPA appeal period is open because of a processing component with a notice of application, revising that notice to transition the project from a type 2, which is director authority to decide, transitioning to the hearing examiner. So we did send out a SEPA determination on the original, did not receive comments, did not receive any kind of appeals on that determination. However, we had to revise that determination and issue it again. And so we have yet to receive any appeals on that. We are outstanding by, I believe, a day or two before that closes.
I think it's tomorrow.
Yes. Ended it tomorrow.
Please let our offices know.
Yes, we will be sending an official memorandum that provides you a clear idea of whether it was appealed or not.
And so, as of now, you have not received any additional SEPA comments based on the revised SEPA notice.
We have not. We've received notice. The comments received are technically part of that SEPA determination or the notice of application timeframe that we had to revise the notice, send that out. These comments received, aside from Kitsap Transit and the Suquamish Tribe, we did receive the comments from the neighbors after our second notice of application.
I'm just wondering to make sure that the staff report is complete and the record is complete. So
yes.
Nothing more has been received since the time the staff report was issued and right now.
That's correct.
That's all I want to know. Thank you.
Sorry. Very close to being done here. So I believe I only have two more slides. And I'm not going to read this verbatim. So the conditions for granting a variance, you have four major points. One are the special circumstances. One is the applicant can enjoy a right that is available for other properties in the area, that it won't be material detrimental, and that it's the minimum necessary. So special circumstances, I would like to address that one. May not have been explained in the staff report, but typically in a situation like this, if somebody is requesting additional parking, we would ask that they explore parking agreements with adjacent property owners, that they could use shared use parking facilities at different peak hour demands for the different uses. We do not have that opportunity here. To the north and south and east, you have rights of way that are in between those properties. So that becomes somewhat of a psychological and physical barrier. And to the west, you have single family homes. The necessity for the preservation and enjoyment, this parcel is a smaller parcel. The use is an allowed use, and the business model is something where you have additional employees. It's a unique business model. It's not strictly fast food. It's not strictly a restaurant. So you have more employees, but you have the higher turnover of patrons at peak demand times. And the traffic analysis provides additional information on that. And I know you have a question on the traffic component coming up.
I do. I'll let you finish your presentation first, and then I'll ask, because it may be you, it may be the applicant.
Okay. So the other commercial enterprises in the area, they have the benefit of a larger parking field having been developed from previous codes, not requiring a variance to increase the parking, but usually it is a variance requested to reduce the parking beyond what's required. It is rare that we get a request to increase it. The variance itself is not detrimental to the surrounding areas. As I mentioned, you will have landscaping, so you have solid separation buffers on the western edge to prevent impacts to the neighbors to the west. You also have roadside buffers to the south, east, and north that are addressing those impacts there, ensuring that you're not going to have headlight glare from parking lots, the drive-through aisles, things of that nature. So the project in and of itself is going to be minimized in those impacts and wouldn't be materially detrimental. The minimum necessary, that is the tricky one, in terms of the traffic analysis and the business model and the peak demand. So between the employees and the patrons at peak times, that's where the minimum necessary is raising it up to the 98 parking stalls. And staff is relying on the traffic impact analysis and the narrative provided by the applicant for that demonstration. So finally, just to summarize what we've got here, the project does comply with comprehensive plan, the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan, land use goals 1, 2, policies 2, 11, and 14, economic development goals 1 and 2, policies 3, 7, and 8. This is directing development, higher intensity development into urban growth areas and not having it in rural locations. This complies with Kitsap County Code, including those other elements we talked about, such as landscaping, parking lot design, allowed uses, and setbacks. And it is not materially detrimental, and it is compatible with the zoning designations of the surrounding area and the intended future uses of the project sites. So with that, we do recommend with 12 conditions, and look forward to answering any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Gurney. Okay, I do actually have a couple. I thought the staff report was very well done. Thank you. And you covered all of the, you ticked the boxes that I was concerned about. When we're talking about more parking in a neighborhood context, even in, you know, zoning is colors on maps to people who live in the neighborhood. So I worry about landscaping, stormwater, traffic impacts, those kinds of things. And those were all issued and the dealt with. So I guess my concerns were a couple of things, and some of these will be rhetorical questions until I get to the question, I promise. I'll get to the question. Okay, so the first question I asked myself, is there a traffic study of similar restaurants to substantiate the claim regarding queuing justifying the need for special circumstances, or that there are special circumstances? And the answer is that there's Exhibit 16. Which is the traffic impact analysis. In looking at the traffic impact analysis, I noticed on page 9 that the AM peak is 115 trips and that the PM peak is 77. And granted, when we're working with level of service standards under codes, it's almost always PM peak, but Chick-fil-A has a brisk morning business. And if it's anything like the Chick-fil-A near me, it's a brisk business with a lot of throughput. Page 15 assumes that 65% of the vehicles will use the drive-through, which means only 35% are likely to walk into the restaurant themselves. I can attest from having seen the Chick-fil-A near my house that there are many more employees especially standing outside often in the rain, taking orders to keep that queue, that massive queue moving through quickly. So if I take those, that biggest number, the AM peak at 115, and take 35% of that, that's 40 customers needing a parking space at any given time. If they're fully staffed with 30, that's 70 parking spaces needed at the 95th percentile. So some days might be much more than that, which is not terribly far from your 66 stalls that are the maximum. That doesn't necessarily mean that's grounds for denial in any way. I'm just pointing out that the traffic impact study itself, if you dig into the details, suggests that 98 traffic spaces or parking spaces might be a little bit more than would ever be used at the maximum time. So the next question I ask myself, is there a parking study of similar restaurants, specifically Chick-fil-A's, because they have a very unique business model, to substantiate the claim regarding the need for additional parking? And I didn't see one of those. So, and I bet the applicant should probably answer some of those questions, but that's my pose, is that from the traffic impact analysis, it looks like at the absolute peak, they don't need 98 parking spaces, but they might be convenient for the way the site is laid out. And so I don't know if that necessarily justifies a special circumstance. I do understand that everyone around has a sea of parking just from the aerials. And I would have liked to have seen an actual parking study of when those uses come in.
Okay.
As we do oftentimes for mixed use developments, not necessarily for single uses. Can you speak to that, or would you like the applicant to speak to it?
I have one comment towards that, but that is, it's probably the applicant that will be able to speak to the details and specifics that you're requesting. I will say that in a general sense, everything is market driven. So even if you have one Chick-fil-A in one location, a different location could have a higher amount than is estimated through traffic impact analysis. That being said, my models that I'm thinking of, I'm used to In-N-Out down in California as their models, very similar to this one, that does have an increased parking ratio because of their business model. So I will have to defer to the applicant for that justification, though.
Totally fair. In that case, is there a representative from the applicant who would like to speak today?
I believe we have a few. We've got a Steph Escamilla.
In that case, Ms. Escamilla, is it, first of all, I'm going to get my pronouns right. Is it Ms. Escamilla?
Yes.
Okay. And is your name spelled as it is on the screen?
It's very long. Estefania. So it's Estefania.
That's a very pretty name.
Thank you. It's just very long.
That's okay. Ms. Escamilla, first of all, do you swear or affirm that your testimony today will be the truth? And can I see you, or could I just hear you?
Yes. I don't know how to, it doesn't give me the option to turn my camera on.
In that case, do you swear or affirm that your testimony today is the truth?
Yes.
All right, let's go from there. Can you please tell me your role? And if you have any other members of the team who want to speak, they'll have an opportunity to. We'll just work them and go forward.
Sure. So I'm Stephanie Escamilla from 4G Development and Consulting. I'm the project manager on this project. Just first, I want to say thank you to everyone on this call. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Darren. I know I bugged you endlessly for the last couple of months, so thank you for being so patient with me and so kind. We also have Alex Bell, who's our civil engineer. Jason Carey, who is also our civil engineer. They're both from Barkhausen. And since I can't see the list of people on this call, there might be other people from our team on too. Let me
see. Hi, thank you, Steph. This is Jason Carey with Barkhausen. Do we have 10W on the meeting? I can't see the meeting attendees, unfortunately.
We just have Alex Bell, Ms. Escamilla, and yourself.
Okay. Okay. So I can do my best. You know, this ideally would have been,
Mr. Carey, do you
yes.
swear and affirm your testimony today will be the truth?
I do swear, yes.
Thank you. These are appealable to Superior Court. We got to do it right.
Yep, no, I completely understand. I think it would have been best to have 10W speak on this since they're the traffic consultant, but I do just want to take a step back here and you know, I was watching the meeting obviously, but I want to make sure that I'm understanding the question here. It sounds like there's a concern with the justification for the
Special
number of parking
circumstance.
stalls. Sorry.
That the review criteria for a variance, I have a very short list of did they make it over the bar or not?
Right.
And the first one and only one that I actually have a concern about is that there is some special circumstance related to this use, in which case that makes the code unfair compared to every other use around you. And the code allows for 66 parking spaces. The traffic impact report suggests that at the peak, maybe 70 will be needed. So my concern is, what is that special circumstance for, in your opinion?
Gotcha. I would say that for special circumstances, if the you know, if the traffic report is saying suggesting 70 stalls at the peak hours, we also have you know, there's turnover on the site obviously, but we've also got meal delivery services that such as DoorDash and Uber Eats, they need parking spaces. And they are more they are more in and out, you know, as far as
Right.
they're not going through the drive-through and things like that.
Good
So we do,
answer.
yep. So we do need parking spaces for that. There is also a lot of overlap between shifts when employees are coming and going. So even though we have you know, these that number of employees at any given time, you know, there's employees who are ending their shift as others are showing up early. And they need parking spaces. And so there's going to be some overlap with shift changes. And then in addition to that, there's also a substantial amount of you know, just peak hour traffic that I think you're all aware that it's like you, I mean, you said this already, Emily, that the you know, Chick-fil-A is a much different animal when it comes
It
to
is.
QSRs. So, the need is definitely there for the additional parking spaces.
So let me sum up. Other areas have more parking than would be allowed now here because the code has changed. There are mobile orders. They are very high in employment, and the staff does shift.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. And I mean, you can see like in a typical drive-through, whereas some restaurants may have two or three staff at the drive-through, Chick-fil-A will oftentimes have 3 to 4 times that amount of people in the drive-throughs.
I
So.
counted six yesterday as I knew I was coming to this today, obviously. The nearest Chick-fil-A, I live in Sumner in Pierce County, and the nearest Chick-fil-A
Okay.
to me is in Bonnie Lake. And I drove by it yesterday and counted six kids standing out there taking orders in the rain. So they might not all have been kids. They sure look like them now, though. So that's, I understand that that this is, it actually is, it is like in and out. It's kind of got its own flavor that you don't see anywhere else. And I also understand that on the peninsula that you have a different sort of traffic stream, especially different times of year,
Yes.
just because of the nature of people coming and going.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that was my question, is just simply that, and the TIA does not state that 70 is necessary. There is no parking requirement there. I'm just looking at the largest peak surge and the percentage of vehicles expected to be in the drive-through compared to the percentage of vehicles expected to be in the parking lot. This is Emily math. This was not in the traffic impact analysis. But it was worth the question because this is the kind of the crux of how is it that this use can justify a rather large increase in parking over the requirement. But I mean, that's the point of the hearing.
Understood.
I think all of my personal questions are answered. Is there anything else from the staff, or I'm sorry, from the applicant that you would like to add?
I don't have anything else to add. Steph, do you have anything?
I do not, no, thank you.
Okay, I assume Alex is good. Are there any members of the public here? No members of the public. Is there anything that the staff would like to, the county staff would like to add to this proceeding? We're good?
Not at this time. I actually just want to express appreciation for that detailed level of thought. It helps us when we prepare a staff report in the future for something like this. So that's something we'll be looking for.
I've been on your end of it many more times than I'm on this end of it, despite having done this hundreds of times now. I've spent much more time writing the staff report and defending my thinking. So sorry.
No apologies necessary.
Learn to be difficult, but our desire is to create decisions that are well thought out and that, if appealed, will hold up because the logic is sound. So, with that said, I have 10 business days to render a decision. It might come from Hearing Examiner Ulrichs, who I'm sitting in for today as a pro tem. Could come from me. But I want to thank everybody for coming today. Thank you for this very good staff report and detailed responses. Yes, sir.
I just want to remind that we still have the SEPA appeal period pending. So in
Yes.
terms of closing the hearing, I want to be careful that we don't.
Well, agreed. I would like to leave the record open until the end of the appeal period. And then I'll get an extra day. Yay! It's this fairly simple decision. So thank you for reminding me of that. I got it earlier in the testimony and I forgot about it at the end. Okay, in that case, it's 10 days from the time that we hear that you didn't receive a SEPA appeal, or we'll just assume there's not going to be a SEPA appeal. If there is one, then we'll deal with it when we deal with it, okay? Excellent. Thank you for hosting me today. I appreciate that. Thank you all for coming. And with that, I will close the record. Please do send us or put in the Dropbox a copy of the recording. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank
Thank
you
you
very
very much.
much. Thank you, everyone.